All right, sounds good. All right, well, I'm going to start off then. Hello, everyone. It's so exciting to see little faces. It's exciting to see humanity. Welcome to our camp, our X Minds campfire kickoff for Camp Read a Lot. I am Laura Gordon, president of the board for Partnership for Extraordinary Minds. We're super excited that you decided to join us. And we're excited to have two children's book authors here with us tonight, Kim Radel and Adam T. Newman. They're going to help make this a super special event. Also joining us tonight, you see Melissa Egan. She was the one welcoming you as you joined. And we have Sue Keisler, who's going to be keeping an eye on our chat. She is our executive director. I'll be giving a quick overview of Camp Read a Lot and how it works. And then we'll open it up for questions. If you want to ask your questions in the chat function while I'm speaking, that's probably the easiest, or you can wait until I'm done and then you can ask your questions out loud. You can do it that way too. For now, keep your microphones muted. If you could do that, that would be very helpful. I'm just gonna put my paper here. All right, so just a little bit about X Minds. If you're new to X Minds, our mission is to improve the educational outcomes and experiences of students on the autism spectrum in Montgomery County, Maryland. Our programming includes parent education events, grants to educators seeking to learn more about teaching autistic students. We provide resources to help parents navigate the special education process. And we also have special education advocacy assistance, direct assistance, and much more. So those programs need to be funded. And we thought a readathon, Camp Read a Lot, seemed like a great idea, especially knowing that kids might be missing their normal summer camp and summer activities this year. We thought parents might want some opportunities to add structure to the summer days. And it also gives you an opportunity to connect with family and friends, even if virtually, have them reading to your kiddos. And of course, we want to keep our kids engaged as well. So it is a fundraiser, but you can still participate. If you don't get any sponsors, the caveat is you just won't be eligible for any of the prizes, which I'll just talk about in a minute. Any student can participate, K through 12, any student. So if you want to have a friendly competition with your cousins in Minnesota, please do. We would love that. Just ask them to register so that we can keep them involved in the weekly updates and emails. So I'm going to go on to the next page here. All right. If you don't already have the Camp Read a Lot packet, just visit our website. You can see the yellow circle there. You can go there and you can find out all the information about Camp Read a Lot. Download the packet, which I'm going to be showing you in a minute, or you can just print it out. So that's there. Okay. So how does Camp Read a Lot work? So basically you ask friends and family to sponsor you, and that means they make a pledge per minute or per page that you read or that you have read to you. You get to choose which option, minutes or pages, whichever works best for you. And again, you can read yourself or you can be read to. Both of those options count towards your reading. You record the pledges that you get from your family and friends on this sheet here. There we go. And not everybody has to pledge the same amount. I had a question earlier today actually about each person can pledge whatever they want, right? So for example, if a student reads 500 minutes over the course of Camp Read a Lot, which is July, and Uncle Dan had pledged 5 cents per minute, that would mean at the end of Camp Read a Lot he would send a donation of $25 to X Mind. So that's how that works. We also put a goal on top of that sheet in case your sponsors are like, well, how much are you going to read? They might not want to pledge $3 a minute if you're going to be reading 2 hours a day. That's a lot. So that's the pledge sheet. And let's see. Yep. Okay. Also on that pledge sheet, we have a flat donation option. And that means someone's just donates a set amount to X Minds without you having to report your minutes or pages to them, and without them having to worry about if you're going to go crazy and read too much. I don't think that's possible. And that donation can be made anytime. They can just visit our website. It doesn't have to happen at the end of the fundraiser. So it's a flat donation. You know, they could go in tomorrow and say, I'm donating on behalf of this camper. And we have a special spot on our donation page where they can put your name so that we know who to give credit to when they're making that donation. So we also have if you need help figuring out how to ask for pledges, we have asking for pledges sheet in the packet. I'm not going to go over that. You can read that on your own, but that is something you can look at if you feel like you need a little help figuring out how to ask people for money. Next, we have the tally sheet. The tally sheet helps you keep track of how much you're reading. Basically, each day, just write down either the minutes or the pages that you've read during that day. Have a parent or a grown-up, an adult in your household, initial the tally sheet each week. We'll be sending weekly reminders to do that, to fill out your tally sheets. That reminder will come with our Friday campfire invitations. The Friday campfires will be about 30 minutes long and will include things like story time, campfire songs, book reviews submitted by you, our campers. We've already got some in the queue that we're excited to show you guys. We'll also ask you how you're coming along on your reading progress. So on Fridays, be sure to join us so that you can check out those book reviews and tell us how you're doing. And again, you will get an email each week reminding you of that activity. So on to the prizes. We have insider knowledge from elementary school students that candy is where it's at. So we will be providing prizes of awesome candy as well as Barnes & Noble gift cards. And as you can see, we got a few categories there. We've got the top three fundraisers. So it doesn't matter what grade or age you are, top three fundraisers, whoever brings in the most money will get those prizes. And then we've also broken it down into the grade levels as well. So we'll have the top three readers for K through 1, 2 through 4, 5 through 8, 9 through 12th grade. So that's the prizes. What else? Okay, I think I covered most of how it works. I am going to open up for questions now. If you have any, let me just make sure. All right, oh yep, and then this is our last thing. So after this is all over, we wanna find sponsors, start reading, join us Friday. And I will keep this slide up, bring the slide up again after we're done with the authors. So just as a reminder. So anyway, let's open it up for questions and we will move on to our amazing authors. My chat. Sue, do we have any chat questions?
No questions in the chat.
Okay, so, all right.
You can go
ahead.
It
sounds like everybody knows how this works, which is awesome. That's exciting. And you can always email us or call us or whatever. My email is on the slide. Anyway, okay, so then I'm going to turn it over to Melissa, and she is going to introduce our authors.
Yes.
Take it away, Melissa.
Absolutely. Welcome, everyone. We're so glad to see you today on the call, our kickoff for Camp Read-A-Lot. I'm here to introduce our amazing authors. And our first author is Kim Radel, a native of Montgomery, Alabama, who now lives in Stuttgart, Germany, where it's now 11:10 p.m. Kim is a longtime military spouse who's transformed her admiration for military-connected kids into the children's fiction series, Max Brinkley's Military Brat Mysteries. The first two books in the series are The Case of the Ding Dong Ditcher, which was published in 2016, and The Case of the Cursed Curtain Call, which will be published and released on July 8th. So we're right on time to get in for that second book. Kim is married to an Army officer and is the mother of five children, but she's also been a newspaper reporter, a nonprofit leader, and a private school educator. Thank you, Kim, for joining us.
Oh my goodness, this is my pleasure. I want to thank you, send a special thank you to the Partnership for Extraordinary Minds for inviting me. I don't care if it was midnight, I just would still be here. The rest of my family is asleep, so I'm gonna try to be quiet. But I'm so glad to be here with you today. So thank you so very much, Mrs. Gordon, Mrs. Egan, and the rest of the board for inviting me to join you today for this special event. So the case of the Ding Dong Ditcher, the case of the Cursed Curtain Call, those are all under the Max Brinkley's Military Brat Mystery Series. Does anybody know what a brat is? Any kids? No? No. In the military, a brat has a special meaning. It's not, you know, a whiny, fussy kid. A brat is a term of endearment given to children of military members. So in the Army, brat stands for born and raised in the Army tradition. And in the Air Force, it stands for born and raised in the Air Force tradition. Now, all the services call their children brats, but I don't know where the Marines get it from. There are no bees in Marine. No. But they are all called brats. So when I started writing this book, when I had the idea for this series in 2009, I didn't know what I was going to do. I just wanted to write a book for kids who are just special. What they had in common is they move around a lot. You know, military children will move an average of 10 times in their lifetimes. Okay. And there's 1.2 million military connected children around the world right now. So I try to get this book out to as many of them as I can to tell their special stories. But those special stories you can also read, because these are mysteries. And who doesn't like a good mystery? Raise your hand if you don't like a good mystery. Taylor, are you raising your hand you don't like a good mystery? No. No, you didn't raise your hand. Okay, so what makes a good mystery? So a mystery is something is missing, right? It's a crime or it's something that we don't know. Usually in a mystery, it's not the main character. So if you're reading a mystery and you think it's the main character, it's probably not. So just keep reading, okay? A mystery also has solid clues that lead the reader to a solution, okay? So there's something that you have to find. So when you're reading a book like The Case of the Ding Dong Ditcher, when you're reading, you also have to find the clues. Okay. Now, a sneaky author will make sure there's lots of false clues. So you may think that the person who did it is someone when it's really someone else. That makes a good mystery as well. Okay. I told you about the main character. And all the suspects who have motives, that means they have a reason for doing what they did. Okay, so in the case of the Ding Dong Ditcher, I introduce you to Max. His name is Max Brinkley. You see Max. Max is the one in the middle. Max is 11 years old, and he lives in Washington State, but he finds out that his family is moving again. They're moving to Sumter, South Carolina. So Max is not too happy because he has all these great friends and he's scared about starting his new school. He doesn't think anyone's gonna like him. But as you can see from this picture, when he got there, this is the first day. He already made new friends. So this is Max. Another important character in this series is Max's genius little brother, Knox. He is 7 years old, and he is really smart. Cree, I did not draw this. There is another military spouse. Her name is Mindy Witten, and she lives in North Carolina, and she's the illustrator. So, no, Miss Kim doesn't have any kind of illustrator skills. There's another genius who's behind that. So, great question. Yes, very cool. So, this is Knox. What's going on with his eye? What could that be? What do you think that Knox has? Have you ever seen one of those before? It's a magnifying glass. Knox loves to solve mysteries. He loves to help his brother solve mysteries. So he's 7 years old. He's in the what grade is Knox in this book? He's in the third grade. But he could actually be in high school or college, but his parents didn't want him to skip that many grades. So other than being super genius, he's just a normal 7-year-old kid. Now, my favorite person in this series is Mrs. Needlemeyer. Yeah. Does anybody know what Mrs. Needlemeyer is wearing? Anybody ever lived in Hawaii? In Hawaii, there were a lot of muumuus. And a muumuu is a loose-fitting, colorful dress. She likes to be comfortable, except she has on the little Dutch shoes. I don't know. Mindy gave the woman the little clog shoes. Now, in this picture, Mrs. Needlemeyer thinks that she knows who the ding-dong ditcher is. Because she grabbed his jacket. But there's one problem with Mrs. Needlemeyer's suspicion. Mrs. Needlemeyer cannot see without her glasses. And she is not wearing her glasses, no. Where are Mrs. Needlemeyer's glasses? Up here. So she doesn't know who really did it. So it's up to Max and Knox to convince her to help them figure out who the ding-dong ditcher is. Okay. So do you have any questions? No. This is a drawing of Mrs. Needlemeyer that a kindergarten class here did. Kind of looks like Mrs. Needlemeyer, doesn't it? Not grumpy enough though, for sure. Oh, and one more picture. So when the boys try to find out who the ditcher is, they use a nanny cam. So there's a picture of whoever the ditcher is on the nanny cam. Okay, so I'm gonna read to you the part of the story where they have lured the ditcher back to the scene of the crime. Okay, so you get to find out who the ditcher is. You have any questions before I read to you? Oh, I think you're all ready for the book. Okay, well, here we go. So remember, Mrs. Needlemeyer thinks she knows who the ditcher is, but the person that she thinks it is one of Max's friends, and Max knows that his friend would never do anything like that. So, we need to talk about what a ditcher is. Does anybody know what a ding-dong ditcher is? I think Mrs. Egan did a lot of ding-dong ditching when she was younger. It's a person who go up to a door, you ring the doorbell, you do, but you run away, and that's not good, so never do that. Stay and let the person answer the doorbell. So whoever the ditcher is, came to Mrs. Needlemeyer's house and decided he or she was gonna throw rocks at her flower pot. They ended up breaking her window. So she ran outside and she almost grabbed them. That's how she got the jacket. Remember the jacket from the picture? Okay. So she thinks it's Max's friend, but Max at this point knows who the Ding Dong Ditcher is. So he kind of tricked the Ditcher to come back. So let's find out who the Ditcher is. Okay. So Max and Knox, they've set up their nanny cam. They are inside Mrs. Needlemeyer's house. Mrs. Needlemeyer on Friday nights likes to watch Lawrence Welk. No one in here is old enough to know about Lawrence Welk. She is watching Lawrence Welk, and the boys are waiting for the Ditcher to ring her doorbell. Knox put his hand over his brother's mouth. "Shh, you guys, I think I heard something," Knox whispered. "Let's check the nanny cam." Knox held up the device. They could see the fuzzy image of a person standing on the front porch. "The Ding Dong Ditcher is out there." Mrs. Needlemeyer's stern face returned. "He is not gonna get away with it this time," she said as she stormed out of the room with Max and Knox following. "We've got to remain calm, Mrs. Needlemeyer, or the Ditcher will get away. You head out the side door. Max and I will head out the back," Knox said. The threesome crept slowly through the house, avoiding any windows. By the time they opened the side and back doors, they could hear that someone was outside. "Stay as close as you can to the bushes," Knox advised. The doorbell rang. A second later, Mrs. Needlemeyer pounced. "You won't get away this time, you little punk," she said as she sprung from the bushes. A shadowy figure in a sweatshirt and hat started, stumbling a little before regaining its balance. Then the Ditcher jumped from the porch and began to run. "They're headed for the trees," Knox shouted. Mrs. Needlemeyer was fast for an older woman, but Max was faster. He trailed right behind the dark figure around the corner of the house, several paces ahead of Mrs. Needlemeyer and his little brother. By the time they reached the edge of the backyard, Max had just managed to grab a hold of his target sweatshirt when the Ditcher jerked left, yanking free and sending Max flying onto his chest in the wet grass. He leapt up just as the others reached him, and the chase continued into the neighboring yard. "Get back here," Mrs. Needlemeyer screamed. "That slippery scoundrel will disappear into the woods." Through three patchy hedges and two backyards, the four ran, but now the Ditcher had a solid lead. When they crossed into Mr. Martinez's yard, Max saw the shadowy form of a football lying in the grass directly in his path. He barely had time to think. He knew just what to do. What do you think he's going to do with that football? Do you think he's going to throw the football? The football made a clean arc in the air, the wet hide gleaming in the light of Mr. Martinez's porch lamp. It struck the Ditcher in the back of the head with enough force to knock the kid to the ground, and in an instant, Max, Knox, and Mrs. Needlemeyer were standing over a sprawling, dazed Ding-Dong Ditcher. All the commotion had begun to rouse the neighbors. Back doors began to open. Mr. Martinez ran outside. "What's going on?" he yelled. "Anyone got a flashlight?" Max asked. Knox pulled one from the bag he was carrying. "Well, let's see who this little hooligan is. I've been waiting to see this face for a while now," Mrs. Needlemeyer announced. With Knox shining the flashlight, Mrs. Needlemeyer pulled the Ditcher up by the arm. The mud-streaked face that turned toward them was very, very angry. See, if we were in classrooms, they'd be yelling at me right now. "What, are you gonna stop right now? You have to tell us who it is. You have to read the book." So, do you have any questions? Any questions for me? Are we good? No questions in the chat. Ah, you know what, Melanie? It takes a really long time to write a book. So remember I told you I had the idea for this book. Oh, who is the Ding Dong Ditcher? I don't know. You're gonna have to read the book and tell me. As far as writing a book, you have a writing starts with a great idea, right? So once you have a great idea, you just keep writing and you'll see that things start to come alive. Now my book took, I had a great idea in 2009, but from the idea to getting it published took into 2016. So it's 70 years for the first one. So the second book didn't take as long. I started writing that immediately after the second one, the first one was released. So this is 2020. So 4 years for the second. Hopefully the third one doesn't take that long. But since now Max is very real to me, Max and his brother, Mrs. Needlemeyer, it won't take long at all for a third book to come out.
Kim, we have a couple of questions.
Yes.
From David. How did you publish it?
Oh boy. Okay, so David, oh boy. What I did was I bought a book that basically outlines the publishing process. And inside this book also, they give you a list of all the publishers who work with the area that I'm interested in. So it's obviously children's literature. So that's where I started. And I just started sending publishers letters basically. And anyone will tell you, even J.K. Rowling's with Harry Potter, that you get more no's than yeses. So finally I found a small publishing house in Virginia who decided they liked the idea and worked with me. So.
Sounds good. And Taylor had a question. Why is Mrs. Needlemeyer so grumpy?
Great question, Taylor. You know, sometimes what we think is grumpy is just misunderstood. And in the second book, she's not as grumpy. She is into yoga. So yoga helps to calm her down. But she's lonely. And I think that getting to know her young neighbors really helped her out and not be so grumpy. Great question. You have any other questions? Oh, okay. That's a great question. You talked to the publisher throughout the process. Really, you have an editor that you work with, and I will tell you, the second book, I thought I had this amazing idea, and when I turned my manuscript in, I was very surprised when they said, I think this needs a little more work. So they give you great feedback, and it's just like when your teachers look at your work. Sometimes you think you've done just a great job, and your teacher will say, give it a little bit more work. That's called constructive criticism. So it's always good to have someone who's going to be honest with you and help you to become a better writer. Wow. Those were some great questions, you guys. Thank you so much. So, are we done? Are we done?
Well, I think if there's no more questions. Oh, looks like Juliet has another question.
Juliet, I like your questions. I do. I really enjoy writing. I've been writing since I was a little kid, and I kept a notebook where I would cut pictures out of magazines, and they would be the people in my stories. I wonder where that is. I wonder if my mother has that. Should ask her. That's where it started. And from there, I majored in journalism, which is, you know, a big difference from fiction writing. That was all you had to tell the truth. You know, that's kind of boring. So this is a lot more fun. Being able to make up anything that I want. It's a lot of fun. Oh, and before I leave, I have a handy dandy little Max Brinkley bag that I take with me. That's what I'm pulling out of the hat. These are my 5 military brats. So Max is based loosely on my son, who is now 17 years old, and Knox is based on my now 13-year-old son, who started reading when he was in preschool, and he didn't tell us he could read. He'd read billboards. I'm like, he's 4. No.
Well, very cool. Thank you so much, Kim, especially being so late. We really appreciate it. Melissa, are we moving on to the next?
I believe we are. And first of all, I wanted to thank you so much, Kim, for joining us today. It was so awesome to hear about Max and Knox and Mrs. Needlemeyer. And we can't wait to tune into your books, and congratulations on the upcoming publication of the next one.
Thank you so much.
Yes. And I wanted to tell everyone, Kim and I know each other from our years as newspaper reporters, and newspapers are another terrific source for reading. So we all can read newspapers too. But we thank you, Kim, for joining us, and we'll let you get off to bed.
Good night from Stuttgart, Germany.
Good night. Bye. Thank you. And as we tell Kim goodbye and good night, we're now going to jump 9 time zones to meet our second author, Adam T. Newman, who lives in Los Angeles, California. My daughter Corinna had the pleasure of seeing Adam read his first published book, How to Catch a Cold, to her second grade class at Fields Road Elementary School. The book features a sleepy boy and a talking booger. What else could you want? Adam's other books include How to Fight a Cold, and most recently, Kai and Ty Go to Hawaii. Adam is an MCPS graduate and an award-winning children's book author whose childhood consisted of sports, reading comic books, and playing with action figures. Welcome, Adam, and thanks for joining us today.
All right. How is everybody? First of all, I want to make sure you guys can hear and see me all great. So if you can see me, I'd like for you guys to just put your hand on your head like that. Let me take a look. All right, you guys can see me. Fantastic. Now, the next important question, the most important question is, can you hear me? So if you can hear me, I'd like to see you guys wiggle your ears like this. Let me see. All right, look at that, Juliet. Look at that, Jermaine. Great job, Juan. Awesome, awesome. Well, you guys can see me. You guys can hear me. And I know these glasses are super duper cool, but I want to let you in on a little secret. They're not prescription. So I'm going to take them off so I can see all of your smiling faces. Oh my goodness, look at those smiles. Look at those beautiful smiles. I love it. Well, for those of you who don't know anything about me, I'm glad you are here. You're going to find out a whole lot about me, and maybe I'll learn a little bit about you. Well, my name is author Adam T. Newman, and I am the author of the books right here. Whoopsie. How to Catch a Cold. How to Fight a Cold. The Girl Who Lost Her Voice. And Kai and Ty Go to Hawaii. I love Hawaii, and I think one day we should all go to Hawaii together. What do you guys think? Would that be really cool? I think we should arrange that. That would be awesome. Well, I wanted to tell you, before I read you any of my stories, and by the way, I am sitting in the world's squeakiest chair. So if you hear the chair, know it's the chair and not who is sitting in the chair. It's definitely not from my bean burrito I may have had the other night. We don't know. Well, I wanted to tell you, do you see this space I'm in right here? This is actually the office at my home in Los Angeles, California. I'm in Los Angeles. Now, when I moved into this house, I designated this to be my office. I'm like, this is gonna be my office. And it was, and I did a lot of writing here. I did a lot of reading. I did a lot of work, a lot of drawing. I did a whole lot of things right here in this office. But as a lot of your parents can relate to, I had children. And they had toys, and a lot of their toys would creep into this room. We would get mail that we would say, we'll get to this tomorrow. No, we didn't do it. It would just go into this room. And the office slowly transformed into the junk room. And no one could set foot in here. Not because I was hiding anything secret or anything like that, but because no one could literally set foot in here. It was filled with junk. But while I cleaned up this place, and I got my office back to the way it was, I found a lot of old writings, a lot of old drawings. I even found an old picture of me. Would you guys like to see an old picture of me? Juan, would you like to see an old picture of me? Juliet, would you like to see an old picture of me? Taylor? Yes, Jermaine? All right. Boys and girls, this is an old picture of me. You get it? It says me. It's a. I'm too young to be a grandpa and make grandpa jokes. No, I really do actually have an old picture, a photograph of me. Now, when I was younger, I grew up in Maryland, just like Melissa had mentioned. I went to elementary school, middle school, high school in Silver Spring, Maryland, not far from all of you guys. Right, Juliet? Really close. Really close. I grew up in Silver Spring, Maryland. And I went back home and I went to in my mom's old room there. And in her bedroom was this photograph of me. I'm going to show it to you guys. And I want you to take a good look at it. You see me right here. But this is a picture of me. And I want you to guess how old you think I was when this picture was taken. Okay, Juliet? Okay, Jermaine? All right. Here's an old picture of me. Now, just by using your hands, I want to see how old you think I am when this picture was taken. If you think I was 3 years old, show me three fingers. If you think I was 4 years old, four fingers. All right, Juan is saying three. Juliet is saying five. Who else? Who else? Taylor, how old do you think I am? Let me see. Make with your hands. Let me see. Jermaine, let me four from Jermaine, five, 10 from Taylor. And is Jermaine, who's with you? Is that... There's two of you, so I'm going to read both of your hands. Let me see. How old do you guys think I am? Four, five. Okay. I'm going to tell you how old I was when this picture was taken after, and Melissa's daughter. I see, 6 years old. I'm going to reveal how old I was when I'm done reading my book. All right, Juan, does that sound good? Does that sound good? Juan is saying six. All right, we're going to hold those answers. Now, I want to tell you, I'm going to read to you guys the very first book I ever had published. And that book is right here called How to Catch a Cold. No one wants to catch a cold, do they? No way! But this is a silly story. Now, something fun about this book is you see this boy right here? This is a very special boy. He is special because he's actually my son. By the way, would you guys like to meet my son? Would you guys like, Juan saying yes. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to my son. This is my son right here. I'm just kidding. My son's in the other room. This is actually a real picture of my son, Tyler. He is right there. That's what he looked like when I wrote this book. Right there. That's me and that's Tyler. Now, I also have a daughter, and she is actually featured in the book, The Girl Who Lost Her Voice, and her name is Carly, and this is a picture of Carly right here. I believe this is the book that I read to Melissa's daughter, actually, The Girl Who Lost Her Voice at her school, and that's Carly when she was younger. So, I'm gonna answer a lot more questions. If any one of you guys have anything to ask me when I'm done reading the story, we're gonna get a whole conversation going, all right? Sound good? Fantastic. Now, one thing I wanna tell you is my books are filled, and I mean filled with rhyming words. Raise your hand if you know what a rhyming word is. Let me see. Who knows what a rhyming word is? Juan does. Taylor does. Jermaine, you know what a rhyming word is? In rhyming word, like cat and mat. Yeah, you know. Juliet knows. All right. Now raise your hand if you know what I want you to do every time you hear me read a rhyming word. You don't know yet. I didn't tell you. Although Melissa's daughter may remember. I'm not sure. And I don't remember Melissa's daughter's name, so I'm going to call you Melissa's daughter for now. Every time you hear a rhyming word, this is what I want you to do. I'm watching you, Juan. I want you to take your hand like this and bring it to your ear like that. And every time you hear a rhyming word, I know you're muted, but I want you to be really loud in your house. I want you to make so much noise that the grass outside scratches their head and say, what is going on in that room? I want you to bring your finger to your ear and go, wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. You guys think you can do that? Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Yes, Juliet. Yes, Juan. Every time you hear a rhyming word, I want you guys to go, wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. And I'm going to see you guys do that, all right? Let's practice, Taylor. Let's try it out, boys and girls. Boys and girls, hands in your lap. Sit up straight. If you hear me read, when I was old, I caught a cold. What are you going to do? Let me see. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Yes, yes, yes. You guys are rock stars. Fantastic. And my friends who are online as well, who I can't see their faces, no problem. I'm hoping you guys are having fun with this too. Without further ado, if you are ready to hear how to catch a cold, give me three loud claps. Let's begin. How to Catch a Cold by me, author Adam T. Newman. Illustrated by Susan G. Young. And again, I promise you the squeaky noise is my chair. It's not, you know what. Here we go. How to Catch a Cold. Scoochity scoochity. The school bell rings. I run to my chair. I turn to my friend Brian, but he isn't there. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Oh, that's weird. Maybe as he walked to school, he fell into a hole where he's being held captive by an angry old mole. That was Monday. Good job with the wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. On Tuesday, when the school bell rang, I hurried to my seat. I noticed Brian was still missing, and now so was Pete. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. What could have happened? This is very, very odd. Was Pete fished out of bed by a boy fishing cod? Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. On Wednesday, Jenna and Jacob were out, and so was Philippe. Did a witch poison them with an apple that made them all sleep? I can't take it anymore. Miss Rose, Miss Rose, Miss Rose, I cry. My friends are all missing, and I don't know why. They're not at school, and I'm concerned.
Have you called the police?
What have you learned? Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. With a sweet, calming voice, Miss Rose smiled and said, no one's being held captive or was fished out of bed. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. I spoke to their parents and I was told our friends are not missing. They just caught a cold. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. They caught a cold? How do you catch a cold? Does it have one eye or three? Is a cold taller or shorter or faster than me? Where do colds live? Where do they hide? Do they dwell inside cookie jars or on top of trash cans outside? That's just silly. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. After school, I ran home. Didn't even stop for a snack. I just finished my homework and prepared my attack. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. I'm watching you guys. You guys are all doing great. To catch a butterfly, you use a net. To catch a baseball, you wear a mitt. I'll pack an umbrella in case colds like to spit. Pa-toon! I'll take 3 jars of honey and 20 rolls of clear tape. I'll strap lint rollers to my hips and wear a flypaper cape. Let's go catch a. Now, boys and girls, I need your help on this part. I'm going to say, let's go catcha, and I want you to make a tight fist like that, really tight fist. I'm gonna say, let's go catcha, and you guys, as loud as you can, you're gonna say cold. Let's try it out. Let's go catcha, cold. I went outside to catch a cold. I searched up in a tree. I saw something moving on a leaf, but it was just a buzzing bee. Yikes! I held out my baseball mitt and looked up in the sky just as a bird flew overhead and pooped in my eye. You know, they say that's good luck. Oh my goodness, there is poop in my book. That is disgusting. I'm going to scrape this off and give it to you, Juan. Can you hold that for me? In fact, keep it. I don't need it. Thank you very much. I moved my search inside my house. I looked behind the drapes. I said really bold, "I caught you cold." But it was only a few old grapes. Or maybe they were raisins. Not sure what those are. In case colds were invisible, I splattered honey in the air. I even used my lint rollers to search through my dog's hair. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. But no colds were found there. I just can't seem to catch a cold. I need a plan that's new. I have an idea. Achoo! For dinner, Mommy made me a yummy grilled cheese. But every time I took a bite, I let out a big sneeze. Oh my goodness, look at that grilled cheese sandwich. It looks so delicious and perfect, but there's a giant snot wad right there. I'm gonna take this off and give it to Melissa's daughter. You hold that for me, won't you? Okay, keep it, I don't need it, you're welcome. I hope you're not catching a cold. Mommy looked at me and said, how'd she know what I was doing? Was it written on my head? What's it say on his head, guys? Catching a cold. By those stuffy, I told her. My words all sounded funny. I called my mom Bub, and my nose was very runny. Oh my goodness, it was runny. Look at that. I'm going to wipe off this nose and give this to Juliet. Juliet, you hold that for me. In fact, keep it. I don't need it. What was going on with me? I seem to have some issues. Forget trying to catch a cold. I'd rather find someone to remain some tissues. I plopped my head upon my bed. I was tired and beat. I guess I'm not catching a cold today. And I accepted my defeat. Let me see, Taylor. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Yes, yes, yes. Good night, cold, wherever you are. Last page, boys and girls. I want to see a lot of wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. All right, now don't pull and yank. I don't want anyone leaving the floppy ears. Just wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. I'm watching you. I woke up the next morning with a billion boogers galore. My nose was super stuffy and my throat was really sore. I had a raspy voice, which made me sound old. You're staying home from school, Mom said. You caught a cold. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. I caught a cold. Woohoo! Now, if only I could remember where I put it. The end. And that, my friends, is the story of How to Catch Cold, written by me, author Adam T. Newman. Hope you guys enjoyed that story. This was the first book I ever had published. So now what we're going to do is I have so many things I can share with you, so many things to tell you. Oh, wait, no, I almost forgot. Let me see those fingers again. How old do you think I was when this picture was taken? Let me see Juliet. Let me see Jermaine, Taylor. Let me see Melissa. Oh, one left. Oh, there you are. One, six. All right, let me see. Taylor is saying 10. Melissa's daughter is saying 6. Juliet is saying 5. Jermaine, how old? 6 as well. If you're ready to hear how old I was, I am. I am when I was when this picture was taken. I want you guys to give me a nice big drum roll, please. Drum roll. I was 6 and a half years old. So if you said 6 or if you thought 7, you, my friends, are correct. Yay, one, you got it right. Give me a high five. Actually, a little gentle tap because I want to be known as author Adam T. Newman, the world's most hilarious author, not the author that breaks your personal property. A little tap, tap, tap-a-rooski. Good job. Good guessing. Look at this. Doesn't this picture look like it was taken last week before my haircut? No. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to look out there. Let me see who I see. Okay. If any of you guys have any questions you would like to ask me, it could be about my books. It could be about my writing process. It could be maybe you want to know what my favorite color is. Whatever you would like to know, just raise your hand and I'm going to call on you. I'm going to start with Taylor real quick. So Taylor, do you know how to unmute yourself?
Perfect. Yes, I do.
Taylor, how old are you, my friend?
I'm 7 years old and I'm the oldest one in my class.
You are 7 years old? For real? Do you know when I was your age? I was 7 too.
Yeah.
True story.
And also, like, why did the, and at the end, why did he catch a cold? Why did he catch a cold at the end and not and at the beginning? I thought if he catched a cold in the beginning.
Yes. Well, here, that is such a good question. Such a good question. So I've written a bunch of books. And when I actually started writing How to Catch a Cold, I had a huge idea, but it was enough for two stories. Because when you're done reading How to Catch a Cold, you can read the part two, How to Fight a Cold. In this story, now that Tyler catches a cold, he must, with the help of a booger named Boogie, learn and train and fight that tough cold. That is great thinking, Taylor. That is great thinking. Did you have something else to add, or does someone else want to say something or ask me? Anyone? Juliet, what would you like to know?
Did your girl?
By the way, Juliet, you look familiar. Are you 20? Are you 20 years old?
No.
How old are you?
I'm 9.
29. That's what I thought. You look very mature. What would you like to ask me, Juliet?
In the book, The Girl Who Lost Her Voice, yes. Did your girl actually lose her voice?
Great question. You know what? This is a funny story. It's a true story. You see, Carly, at home, would never stop talking. She never lost her voice. She was so loud. I'm surprised I still have great hearing. But the day that the book arrived, my first copy, it arrived in the mail. Carly had already gone to sleep. And I said, in the morning, I'm gonna share with her this new book. And when she woke up, I ran into her room. I pulled off the covers and I said, Carly, check out this new book. And she woke up, but she couldn't speak. She actually really woke up with laryngitis. She really did lose her voice the day the book came in the mail. That was the only time she had ever lost her voice. Now, my books actually have a built-in game. Do you guys like games? You know, I played the game, how old do you think author Adam T. Neumann was with this picture? Well, I did not do it with my first book. I came up with this idea later. And what I did was I actually dedicated this book to my two kids, Carly and Tyler, and their cousins, Liv, Eva, and Kai. And they are my little boogers in this world. And I dedicated this book to my little boogers. In fact, I actually converted them into five hidden boogers that while you read the story, you have to look at the beautiful artwork and search for the five hidden boogers. When you find a hidden booger, I need you guys to pick it out. Now, if you happen to find a sixth hidden booger in any of my books, it means someone added one, and that's disgusting. It's even grosser if you're finding them and picking them off of an iBook or something. That's what Windex is for. Ugh, gross. So that's a little fun fact. Does anyone else have any more questions? Taylor, do you have something else to say or ask? No? Now
we had a question from the chat, if you don't mind.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, let me.
Sure. Cree had to leave, but he asked before he left what middle school and what high school you went to, because he lives in Silver Spring.
So I'll give you the whole rundown. When I was in preschool, I actually went to the preschool in the high school that I went to, which was Kennedy High School. In elementary school, I went to Glen Allen. I was a Glen Allen Gator. In fact, I was a patrol, and this is my patrol badge. I know nowadays the patrols use like a neon yellow or a green belt. Back in the
olden days when I was a little boy,
we had bright orange, let me turn this off. We had bright orange patrol badges, and this was mine. I actually got to keep it, which was really, really cool. I was a Glen Allen Gator at Glen Allen Elementary, and middle school, I went to Ebrook Lee Middle School. And then I went to Kennedy High School, and that's where I lived. My house was really actually right across the street from Kennedy High School. So you could go and visit and say, hey, that's Arthur M.T. Newman's house. Now, yes, Taylor. Yes, Taylor.
Why did the boy have a booger friend to teach him how to not catch a cold? Because you have boogers running down your nose when you catch a cold.
That's right, and boogers are gross, but know what else? Boogers to me are hilarious, and they make me giggle, and they make my kids giggle, and I love to write to make my children laugh, and I love to write to make you guys laugh, and I love boogers and poop jokes. I know not everyone does. They think it's kind of gross. It makes me laugh. Now, I wanted to tell you, I have like three more stories I could share with you, but let me see at the time. It is two. I think we're good. And Laura and Melissa, it's Carianna! Carianna, is that your name? Carianna? Is that your daughter's name? You're muted.
Karana.
All right, so I don't have to call you Melissa's daughter anymore. Fantastic, Karana. All right. Let me ask you something. Speaking of what schools I went to, I have a story about something that happened in preschool. Raise your hand if you like to draw. Who here likes to draw? Juliet likes to draw. Laura likes to draw. Jermaine likes to draw. Taylor likes to draw. Everyone likes to draw. All right. I love to draw. And I remember the day I discovered I love to draw. I was about 4 years old. I was in preschool. And I did this activity. You guys can do it right after we're done with the Zoom. It's called Scribble Scrabble. Can you say Scribble Scrabble? I love saying it. It's a silly word. All you need is a blank sheet of paper and a crayon. Blank sheet of paper and a crayon. It doesn't matter the shape. It doesn't matter the size. It doesn't matter the color. Just an ordinary crayon and a blank sheet of paper. And when I was 4 years old, we did Scribble Scrabble. And what they did was the teacher gave me a blindfold. You don't need to use a blindfold. All you have to do is close your eyes. The idea is so you don't see what you're writing or drawing. And the teacher said, on your mark, get set, go. And for 30 seconds, you would just scribble and scrabble. I made loop-de-loops. I would make straight lines. I would make lightning bolts. I would make circles, squares, all sorts of shapes. But I wasn't looking at my paper. That was the scribble scrabble. And when the 30 seconds went off, the timer went bing, and I stopped. And I took off my blindfold. And I opened my eyes. And I stared at my teacher. And my teacher's face looked like this. And I said, what's with the face? And she said, Adam, look at what you just drew. And I said, what do you mean, what did I just? I was just scribbling and scrabbling. I wasn't even paying attention. Adam, look at what you just drew. So I looked down at my paper, and I could not believe what I saw. Somehow, I don't know how, but it's true, but somehow, with my scribbling and my scrabbling, I wound up drawing a cartoon character, Spike the dog from an old cartoon show called Tom and Jerry. It looked exactly like the dog in the show. And my teacher was so impressed, but no one was more impressed than me. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, if I could draw something this good with my eyes closed, I can't even imagine what I could draw with my eyes open. Unbelievable. In fact, boys and girls, I love drawing so much that when I was working on my very first book, How to Catch a Cold, the book that I was just reading to you, I was actually planning on being the illustrator. So the author is the person who writes the words. The illustrator is the person who draws the pictures. And if it's okay with you guys, I'd like to show you some of my artwork. Would you guys like to see that? So when I knew it was going to be about my son, Tyler. Okay, I knew he was going to have long moppy hair and he was going to get a little confused. And this is what my drawing looked like of Tyler in the story, How to Catch a Cold. And I knew he was going to have to search for a cold and hunt for a cold. And I wanted to use a lint roller and a butterfly net and a flypaper cape. So that was my drawing. I even started drawing the very first page when he gets to school and he sits down and he realizes his friend is missing. Now, at that point, I had a couple other drawings, I'll show you, but I wanted to get my website all in order, my social media pages. I started going to schools, booking schools, so I hired Susan G. Young, my illustrator, and I gave her all of my artwork, and she converted them into the final art that you see in the books that I think she did a wonderful job. I actually use her for all of my books. So here's the picture that she did. Here, let me do it backwards. There's mine and there's hers. So she takes direction really, really well. Here's my grumpy old mole right here. That's the one I did. And here's Susan's grumpy old mole. And I even did the boy fishing cod, which looks like this in the book. And that was what mine looked like. So really, really close. Now, another thing I like to do, and if any of you guys have any questions while I'm talking, because I could talk for hours and hours and hours, just raise your hand and I will stop and I will call on you. Now, one thing I love to do when I write, a lot of people always ask me, author Adam T. Newman. Oh, and also, and Laura, and every, if I'm going too long, let me know. I often get asked, author Adam T. Newman, what is your writing process? I like to write, but I don't know if I'm so good. You know, what are some pointers? Now, one thing I do every single time when I write is I listen for a rhythm in my stories. When I was very, very young, I used to go in my bedroom in Maryland and I would read a lot of books, and I loved Dr. Seuss books. And I used to read Dr. Seuss, and then I started rapping to Dr. Seuss. You could actually rap to all of Dr. Seuss's books. In fact, you can rap to all of my books as well. And what I do is, back in the olden days, one of my favorite TV shows of all time was a TV game show called Double Dare. I loved Double Dare, and I wanted to be on Double Dare more than anything. And it just so happened that when I was in seventh grade, the producers of Double Dare came to Maryland and held a big audition. And I auditioned with my friend Val Mickey, and wouldn't you know it, we got chosen and we were actually on the show. That, and I know you're thinking author Adam T. Newman, which one is you? Well, in case you were wondering, I wanted to tell you that this one is me right there. That's my friend Val Mickey. I know I look different because I have hair and everything. But when I was on that show, we had such a great time. Val Mickey had to dress up like a hot dog, and I had to smear him with ketchup and mustard. But we won. Again, that's the chair, not me. We won. One of the prizes we won was this keyboard right here. And I use this keyboard to make sure you can rap to all of my stories. And I'll tell you how in a minute. But before I go and show you how to do that, I wanted to tell you that 30 years after I was on Double Dare, they brought it back to Nickelodeon. They called me up and said, author Adam T. Newman. No, they didn't say author Adam T. Newman. They just called me up and said, hey, we're going to bring the show back. Would you like to be on the show with your son? And I said yes, and I got to go on the show a second time with my son as my partner. But wait, it gets better. I said, you know what would be great? My friend Val Mickey, I'm still in touch with him. He has a daughter the same age as Tyler. Why don't we compete against each other? And sure enough, we got to be on it again. There's Val Mickey and I, and our kids, Tyler and Vanaya. And here, this was me and Val Mickey when we were younger. And here's when we were older with our children. And man, one of the biggest things that I wanted to do more than anything was this obstacle called Picket. It was a giant nose filled with slimy boogers, and you had to pull out a flag in there. In fact, one of the challenges that Boogie the Booger has Tyler do in How to Fight a Cold is race into a room that smelled like freshly cut roses, and inside there were hundreds of flying stuffy noses. So Tyler has to reach out and clean out all the giant noses, and that's something I finally got to do. I got to do this big picket thing when I was on the show. Look at that, and I got filled with boogery slime. It was disgusting, and I loved it. Now, back to the rap thing, because I don't want to run too late.
Excuse me, Adam?
Yes.
I believe that Kate has a question. She has her hand raised. She may be on a second page.
There's no second page. Kate Reamer?
Yes.
I don't, she's blocked out, but Kate, what's your question? It's the camera's not on. But.
It's because this is my mom's account. Do you have to pay money to the publisher? Because that's what I've heard.
That's a great question. So if you write a story and you're ready to publish, okay, And I think this is what you're asking. And you're ready to get there, your books out there on Amazon and you want to start selling. There is some prices that you have to pay, but not a whole lot. You can self-publish. That's what I did. I formed my own company. Tyler and Carly's grandparents passed away, and it was very, very sad, but I wanted to do something special for them. And their names were Mike and Lois, and I formed a company called Milo, Milo Ink Books. This is Mike. This is Lois. I took the My from Mike, the Lo from Lois, and I formed Milo Ink Books. And the reason I did ink was Lois was a calligrapher. And a calligrapher was someone that would, in the olden days, they would take a big feather like this. They would dip it into black ink and write really fancy lettering. A calligrapher is someone nowadays, they use a fancy pen with black ink. And maybe you've seen it on an award certificate or a wedding invitation. I actually had a lady named Karen Gable who worked with Lois. And I had her write, "This Milo Ink Book belongs to," in every one of my books, just the way Lois would have done. So a little bit of Tyler and Carly's grandma is in every single one of my books. So I had this vision, this idea, Kate, that I wanted to form my own company. I wrote the book. If I were to draw all the pictures myself, I wouldn't have to pay an artist, an illustrator to do it. But because I wound up hiring Susan, I needed to pay Susan for her skills. As far as publishing, you don't have to pay, but it's little things you have to learn about. Like you have to pay for what's called an ISBN. It's the barcode. So, and that runs you about $100 for one. If you know you're going to write more than one book, I would suggest getting like 10 of them because it only costs $250 and they never expire. So at the bare minimum, as long as you pay for an ISBN to put everything on Amazon, it shouldn't cost you anything else. Now, if you need a designer to help you with the book, you have to pay for their services too. I hope that answered your question. Now, because I'm so excited to do this, because I know my family likes to put in their earplugs when I do this part, I take my keyboard that I won from Double Dare, and I'm going to turn it on this. And you guys can do it at home. If any of you guys have my books, you could do it with my books later. If any of you guys have Dr. Seuss books, you could do this later with that as well. So all you need is a beat. You guys hear that? You need a funky hat. Check out my hat. You see what it says? It says author. You know why it says author? Because I'm author Adam T. Newman, not rapper Adam T. Newman, just to be clear. And you need a cool pair of glasses just like this. But now what I need from you guys is I need you guys to start moving to the groove. Let me see one. Let me see your moves. Taylor. All right, Juliet. Jermaine, let me see you guys move. I'm not going to read the whole story, just a little bit of it. And I'm going to prove to you that you can rap to my books. Right. The school bell rings. I run to my chair. I turn to my friend Brian, but he isn't there. That's weird. Maybe as he walked to school, he fell into a hole where he's being held captive by an angry old mole. That was Monday. That was Monday. Yeah! Boys and girls, you could do that with all of my books. I have fun with it. I'm writing another book right now, and I do the same thing. And every time my family tells me to go outside, I'm just kidding. I do it in my office. They don't hear me. All right. Anyone else have anything to say? Or if you notice anyone else whose cameras are off, and that's fine that they're off. I'll turn on the chat in case there's something.
Adam, Juliet has a question.
Juliet, yes. What is your question?
Who won Double Dare when you went on the second time?
Me. I am one of the few people that can proudly say I am a two-time winner of Double Dare. And we won all of the prizes, and it was so great. I got to go with Tyler, my son. We won a trip to the Nickelodeon Studios. Nickelodeon Resort in Punta Cana, and instead of going with Carly and my wife, we went with Tyler's cousin Kai, who's in Kai and Ty Go to Hawaii, and Kai's dad, Tyler's uncle Brian. So it was just a little boys' trip, and it was really, really awesome. And you could see their adventures in here. They had a lot of fun adventures. We all went to Hawaii together, the whole family, not just the boys. And this book actually All my stories have a lot of little fun hidden facts. In fact, one of the characters in here, you know, I write about Carly and Tyler, my children, Kai, my nephew, but there's actually a magician in this book. And his name is Brenton Keith, and his bag of tricks, the island's greatest magician. He wowed us when he made Carly's card appear inside the bowl he kept his fish in. Now, Brenton is a real magician, so if any of you guys ever go to Maui, you could check him out, and you could say, hey, I know you. You're in that great book by my favorite author, author Adam T. Newman. Now, something happens in the story. This is a lava rock curse story, and basically, a lava rock, even though Brenton tells the boys not to take it home, if you take a lava rock off the island, you'll be cursed with bad luck. Well, somehow, I don't want to give it all away, somehow a lava rock gets off the island and Tyler gets cursed with bad luck. And one of the things that happens to Tyler is he actually gets stuck in an elevator. And this is something that really did happen to Tyler when he was in Hawaii. Why was Tyler alone in the elevator? Yes, I am an awful parent, but I learned my lesson. Well, actually, he was going up with Carly, his sister, and she didn't quite make it. The door shut and the elevator went up. And I was waiting for them and I saw the elevator go up and it kind of overshot our room and it got stuck and I heard, help! So I went to the door. It was like this. I'm like, hey, Tyler, is that you? And he said, yeah. I said, all right, I'll get help. Don't worry. Don't panic. You're fine. And I called for help. And they radioed the maintenance man who could fix the elevator. The only problem was there was only one guy on the entire island who knew how to fix the elevator. And he was on the other side of the island. So Tyler was stuck in the elevator alone for 45 minutes. Can you believe it? Oh my goodness, Julia, can you believe that? He was totally, totally freaking out, but I was right there and I calmed him down and he was fine. And in the story, I changed it a little bit. In the story, I'll show you, the elevator opens up and he runs into his dad's arms. By the way, this guy looks familiar. That's me, I'm dad. And but what really happened, there was no fire trucks or anything like that. The doors open. Tyler ran straight into my arms. I gave him a nice big hug and it comforted him. And the resort gave him a magic cup, a special cup that allowed him to get unlimited smoothies for the entire vacation. And I said, that's fantastic, but we need another because we have two kids and we don't want to. So we got two and everyone lived happily ever after. Also, Tyler got pooped on by a seagull, not by a person. That would have been gross. Yes, Juliet.
That happened to me too.
You got pooped on?
No, I got stuck in an elevator for 45 minutes with my grandparents once.
No. Oh my God. Where were you? Where were you?
I was not on vacation. I was in my apartment building.
Oh, you're at home. You're at home.
We were about to move. Yeah, but we were about to move.
It's scary, right? Totally. Well, scary.
I was like four or five years old, so I didn't really know what was going on.
Oh, well, could you, but you were with your grandparents. Can you imagine if you were alone? Yeah, so I felt really, really bad. And Tyler, it took Tyler a long time to get back into an elevator on his own, but he's okay now. He's totally, totally fine. And all the other bad luck curses that happen in here, I kind of make it more silly than what really, really did happen. But I wanted to tell you, not only do I write about my children and my friends and places we love to visit, like Hawaii, but in The Girl Who Lost Her Voice, I want you guys to look at something. Have you guys ever built a fort before? I love building forts. I used to build at home in Maryland. I used to take out all my toys. I have a lot of them still here. I gave Tyler all my other ones and he like broke them all in like a record time. But I would build a fort with pillows and blankets and sheets. And in this book, that's what Carly and Tyler do. They find a journal that their grandma left them and they build this fort right here. But what I'm referring to is you guys see this blanket right here? This is a very special blanket. This blanket is actually one that Tyler and Carly's great grandma made for them. She knitted it. I think it's called crocheted. And we have that blanket, and yes, she made it for them to stay warm at night, and they're using it as a raft to protect them from a shark that's swimming by. But that's a very special blanket that made it into my story. I'm trying to look at my time here. I'm running close. So yes,
we have a question from the chat from David.
Yes.
If you could read it, just read it.
Sure. Dave asks, do you have any advice for someone who is currently writing a book?
David, great question. And let me tell you, this is for all my friends here. I'm going to answer your question and give you a little bit more too. So I actually graduated from UMBC, University of Maryland, Baltimore County, not too far from you guys. But after high school, I went to an art college in Connecticut called the Hartford School of Art. And I studied art. I did drawing and painting and photography, all sorts of art. But one of the best things I learned in college wasn't something that I learned in the classroom. And it was this: art is subjective. And I know that might be hard to understand what I'm saying, so I'm gonna put it in simpler terms. Art, whether it's writing or drawing, anything creative, not everybody will enjoy and like your work as much as you. And I want you all to know that that is okay. Believe me, I know not everybody in this world thinks my books are the best books in the whole wide world. Yeah, I know, they're crazy, I get it. But that's how they feel, and that's okay. What's important, and to answer your question, is to not worry about what other people think or worry about what other people may think. What's important is you're producing something. You're producing something wonderful, something that makes you happy, that will make many others happy. And never, never stop. Never stop following your dreams. A dream is just a dream until you make it a reality. I learned that in Orlando, Florida, by a purple dragon named Figment at Epcot Center. And a dream is just a dream unless you make it a reality and go with it. If you have a vision, if you have an idea, and it doesn't matter if not everyone can see it. I'm writing another story right now. I was just sharing it with my wife. She doesn't see what I see. She can only see the final product. And people a lot of times ask me, Adam, how long does it take for you to write a book? It varies. When you're at school, if you have an assignment that's due on Tuesday, you need to finish it by Tuesday. But if you're writing for fun, or if you're writing professionally like me, you, even though there is a time frame, I don't focus on the clock. I focus on the work, because people will only want to see your final product. They will want to read your story. They will want to see your picture, look at your sculpture, look at your photo. So just continue. Yes, Juliet, you're going to fly away if I don't call on you. Or are you just stretching? No, you're just stretching? Exercise? I need exercise too. So, if you have an idea, put it down on paper, put it in that computer, work on it. I was writing when I was super young. I had a journal that looked close, something like this, just an ordinary journal. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. And I would write down ideas. I would write down songs. I would write down poems, and I would write stories down. A lot of the times they had boogers and poop jokes in there, so I haven't quite grown out of that phase. But either way, I have all my old journals from all my elementary school. I have a lot of old drawings too. So save everything and look back at it later, because it may inspire you to continue writing something else.
Adam, how about we take one or two more questions before we wrap up?
I was going to wrap it up as well. If anyone else has anything they'd like to ask me, let me know. I think I gave you guys a whole lot of extras, which is great. You guys have been a wonderful, wonderful crowd, a wonderful, wonderful audience. And I miss Maryland. I miss Maryland. I was just there in September, and I was supposed to go back there, and then here I am. So does anyone else have any last thing to say? Juliet, you're really funny. Cool. Thank you so much. I have a blanket that my great-grandmother knitted for me. You do, Juliet? You have a blanket that your great-grandma made? Here's another thing. My great-grandma, her name was Rose. And Carly's middle name is Rose. And she was actually the person who helped me decide what the teacher's name would be in this book, How to Catch a Cold, when he goes, Miss Rose, Miss Rose. So Carly named her Miss Rose after her middle name, Miss Rose. And in fact, this classroom was based on Carly's kindergarten classroom. I went in there, I took pictures, they had a checkered floor, they had blue chairs like this, and this actually sort of looks like her real kindergarten teacher as well. So a lot of little fun facts. Does anyone else have anything to say?
I think that Julia also wanted to know how many kids you have.
Oh, I have two children, Carly and Tyler, and I want to tell you something fun about them. These are old pictures. So a fun fact about Carly and Tyler, and I don't know if I'm supposed to reveal this or not, is I think they might be superheroes because they have a superpower. Every 12 months, I'm not even kidding, every 12 months, they seem to get 1 year older. I know, it's crazy. It's great. They were once 3 years old. Then 12 months later, they were 4 years old. 12 months later after that, 5 years old. Unbelievable. This past February, Tyler turned 13 years old. And this past March, Carly turned 15 years old. I'm still 18. I don't know how that works. But yeah, they get older. So Tyler is 13, Carly is 15. They just wrapped up 7th grade and 9th grade. So Carly wrapped up her first year at high school, which is very exciting. And Tyler has one more year in middle school. I think that's about it. I will conclude with this. When I was very young, my best friend, his name was Jeff Barsky. Jeff Barsky is actually a Montgomery County Public School teacher, by the way. And he switched schools, and I want to say Forest Knowles, but I don't know if that's the right school. He's a Montgomery County Public School teacher. He teaches 5th grade, Mr. Barsky. But his dad, Mr. Barsky, was a really funny guy. He was actually my basketball coach. And he would say things like, Adam, you could pick your friends, or you could pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend's nose. That's true. Don't do it. So I'm going to change it up and say this. You could pick your friends, or I suppose you could pick your nose, but I couldn't pick a better audience than you guys right there. Give yourselves a big, loud round of applause. This has made my day. I've been looking forward to sharing my stories with you. I've been looking forward to connecting with you guys. I'm reading the chat, but I think it wasn't. I have to go, but what school did you go to? I went to Tilden, Rock, in Silver. So yes, very cool. Very cool. Cree went to Tilden. I went to Fields Road. I went to Glen Allen, but I do assemblies. So hopefully I can come to one of your schools when schools are open. Sound good? All right. Well, thank you guys for having me. It's been my absolute pleasure. I hope you guys liked it. Juliet, Jermaine, Juan, Hudson, Monica, Maria, Alina, Kate, I hope you guys, Jean, I hope you guys had a wonderful time with me as much as I did with you. And that's it. 3, 1, 3, 2, yeah, my time is good, right?
We're
good.
Adam, we cannot thank you enough. That was so fantastic, and we would love to have you back in the future. You are a dynamo. And a great product of Montgomery County Public Schools, that's for sure.
Thank you. Yeah, Glen Allen Gators are the best head of all the rest. I remember all this stuff. All right.
Well, thank you so much,
thank
Adam.
You.
Thank you for kicking off our fundraiser this afternoon.
Did you draw that? That is awesome, dude. Oh my goodness. Oh, my screen changed, but wow. You are quite the artist, Juan. I love it. Thumbs up. Author Adam T. Newman gives you 2 big thumbs up. That is fantastic, buddy. Keep up with those drawings, all right? I love it. All right. Well, I guess you're going to keep them. I'm going to go. So, all right. Bye, everybody.
Thanks, Adam.
You're welcome.
Okay.
We'll see you guys.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everybody. I'm just going to put this slide back up here really quick. Just as a reminder, hold on here, sorry. So coming up on Friday, we have our first Friday campfire. So be looking for the invitation in your email for the first Friday campfire. That's going to be this Friday. I think we're going to have a story time with Miss Frizzle, for those of you who are fans of the Magic School Bus. So look for that invitation. Find some sponsors, Ask family and friends, neighbors, if they'd like to help support X Minds, and start reading. And we will hopefully see you on Friday. And if you have any questions, my email is there on the screen. And I can take any quick questions if anyone has any right now. Otherwise, I don't think, are we good, Sue?
Nothing in the chat yet.
Okay, so, all right. Well, I think that does it. Hopefully we will see all you guys on Friday. Thank you so much for joining us. Bye.
Thanks, everyone.